Okay, guys, Revelation chapter 9, we'll begin with verse 3. Revelation chapter 9, verse 3. Remember last time we reviewed what the bottomless pit is and where most likely the entryways to this pit are in the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. We also took note of the star mentioned in verse 1 and how many supposed it to be Jesus, maybe a priest. But our study confirmed to us that this star is none other than the devil, Satan himself. And so tonight we're going to see what's coming out of the pit and the smoke of the pit. And now in part 2, we're also going to meet the locusts and their power. So what are these locusts? Who are they? Where do they come from? What are they about? We're going to learn all that tonight in our study this evening. Let's look at verse 3 here. You have your place, say amen. Okay. Follow along with me there. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, that be the men, but that they should be tormented, the men, 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So what we have, we've already said our blessing, or our prayer. What we have here then, is, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Okay, let's test your reflexes now. So we have one here, and then we have another one over there. So, okay, good catch. So you pass those around. You have locusts. That's basically what you're looking at there, a toy locust. Now, that's a grasshopper on steroids, if you will. And I don't know about y'all, but we have accounts of locusts covering the side back in the 1914, 1918 eras in the Middle East of so many of them, it kind of darkened the sky. So I don't know about y'all, but I don't want those things, those critters, to be anywhere around me. Especially the ones that are mentioned here in Revelation. Because these in Revelation, guys, are not ordinary locusts. As we will see in just a few minutes. Now, the point of origin of these locusts, we look backwards. Thank you, sir. We look backwards and we see in previous verses that where is the smoke coming from? Anybody want to answer that? It's back in verse 2. Where are the locusts coming from? The pit? All right. And now in verse 3, what are they coming out of specifically? The smoke. And where did the smoke come from? The pit, the bottomless pit. Okay. So these locusts are coming out of the heart of the earth. And so the key is, guys, that these things are not regular animalistic locusts. And we're going to see why in just a moment. So what is John describing here? He's describing what he's seeing. Please note, not what the locusts are. But having swarmed out of the smoke, billowing forth from the bottomless pit of the earth, it shows us that these are demonic in nature. They are demons. They are not mere members of the animal kingdom. Therefore, these are not ordinary locusts. Now, these locusts are swarming out of this pit. And for your information, guys, please understand, locusts are not particularly dangerous, nor are they deadly to humans. They're plant eaters. But still, if something like that looked at me in my face and those jaws, I don't know. I don't want to see it chewing this backer, as we used to say. So, locusts are highly unlikely to bite a person. Very highly unlikely. And even if one did bite you, normal locust, it won't kill you. The danger they pose to humans is more indirect, more horrifying. For they will essentially make somebody and group of people starve to death. Because what do? They eat everything green. If they fly through an area, guys, they'll eat all the leaves. They'll eat all the grass, they'll eat all the crops, everything. The locusts, guys, when the Bible talks about a plague of locusts, the plague to the people are, you might get hit in the face with one flying around, and it will be uncomfortable to be in a swarm of locusts, but the danger is not in the locust to you itself. The danger is what the locust does to the crops and to the grass and to the plants, to the leaves and all that stuff. The people swarm, they die of starvation. See, locusts swarm in the field. They eat all the crop, rendering months of hard work useless in a short period of time. But as we shall soon see, this is not what happened with these locusts. To me, I say if it looks like a locust, acts like a locust, sounds like a locust, it's a locust. But these locusts of Revelation chapter 9, they don't act, they don't behave, they don't sound like, and they don't eat like a locust. They merely, from afar off, look like locusts, but everything else connected to these things, guys, is otherworldly. They are demons. So people say, well, wait a minute, I thought angels were men in gender. I thought they were masculine. They are. You say, well, wait a minute, you're telling me that these demons take the form or the shape of locusts? Exactly. You say, how do we know? What does this mean? Okay, now here's where we need to briefly touch upon shapeshifters. How many of you have ever seen the movie Teen Wolf or the Werewolf or anything of that nature? Or have you heard of the werewolf? Okay. If you're looking at me like I've lost my mind, from the European legend, on the night of the full moon or on a certain particular evening, a person affected with this, sometimes he's bit, sometimes he would have the ability, he would suddenly change and become hairy and basically do what's called anamorph. He would change from a human into what's known as lycanthropy. He would think he was an animal. Now, people say, well, that's just a weird thing that comes out of the imagination of people. Actually, God, when you look at history, you will find that these shapeshifters are actually related, interlocked and interrelated with demonism, demonic possession, and so forth. Nebuchadnezzar, that's exactly right. All right, so let's look at some things here. Is there biblical proof for the fact that angels, or not angels, but demons rather, fallen angels, have shapeshifted? Yes, there is. First of all, when angels are observed by people, they are always in the form of men. But these fallen angels, they can appear as men, or sometimes they can appear in another form. Why? Because they are not bound, nor are they determined to obey the will of God the Father. Instead, they're doing their own thing. So while God always makes angels appear in the form of men, whenever it's been convenient to the plan of Satan for fallen angels to appear, they can appear in the form of men, as in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God, the fallen angels. But in other places, we can see that these fallen angels appeared as something else. Consider that in the beginning, sometime after day 7, at what point we do not know when, yet by the time we look at Genesis chapter 3, we observe a serpent, which was a small dinosaur. It is walking, it is talking, and that is not a true shapeshifter. The devil did not shapeshift into this serpent or this dragon. Rather, it was a demonic possession. Okay? The angels apparently do have the ability, as do the devil's workers, to change their appearance. Observe 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 13. The Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." That's true. The workers of Satan are able to transform themselves into what appears to be workers for Christ. There are many institutions and agencies out here, indeed even, guys, some denominations, that seem like they're Christian. That's why the Bible warns us in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit." That means test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And how, pray tell, do we test or try those spirits right here? Amen. With the Word of God, which a lot of people are throwing to the side over there. And if it's got Christian written all over it, they immediately adopt it. You've got to test the spirit of it. Let me give you a case in point right quick. How many of you have ever heard of a contemporary Christian music... Contemporary Christian musician, I could say musician, CCM, named Ray Bolts. Anybody? You say, no? Okay, let me try this. How many of you have ever heard the song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb? Okay, some of you are still in dark. That's okay. Mr. Bolts is a very famous CCM performer. I loved I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. But that song was written while he was struggling with being a sodomite, gay. And he came out as a sodomite, as a homosexual. And still believes that he's that while he's practicing a homosexuality, that he can still be in behind the pulpit and sing praises to God. So I have outlawed and banned every Ray Bolts song. If anybody ever wants to sing it, you can't hear because of the attitude and the mindset and the spirit that pervades his mind. Because what is words? What are words? Think about what words are. Words are physical imprints of your soul. And if his soul is wrapped around and corrupted with the spirit of homosexuality and the spirit of that attack, that is what else? Pervading his other word, lyrics to his songs. You follow? I don't care if it sounds like it's got a good message or it sounds right. God, you've got to look at the origin. You've got to look at the start. That's one thing, God, I have hammered over everybody's head that's been here since 2004. It doesn't matter how we feel about it. It goes back to the start. Where did it begin? Why did it begin? And what is the spirit behind it? And for that reason, some people have left. Some people don't like that. Oh, well, find another greener pasture out there. But it is my duty to protect the church. And I have to, as the pastor, test every spirit. And I'm going to do that as long as I'm pastor. You don't like it? I can move elsewhere. But anyway, I haven't heard anybody say that. But I have to protect you, and I'm going to. I love music, but we've got to make sure the spirit is right. That's a sign of contention of a lot of churches nowadays. But if you got a special, bring it up, and we'll analyze it. We'll look at it. There's one that I've been researching about He Is. That's a wonderful song. It goes through the entire Bible about what Jesus is in each book. Makes me get goosebumps every time I see it. So far, I've not found a false spirit with it. I find a good spirit with it. So, guys, that's what you should do. When your children listen to music and read books like Harry Potter, look and see the spirit behind it. Why was that book written? Who is the writer? Who is the author? Why did they pen those words down? There's a reason. Because words are imprints of our soul. Anyway, okay. That wasn't in my notes. I'm sorry. Okay. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, or big thing, you know, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, guys, what we have to do is we got to see that the devil and his minions out there are trying to make everything seem harmless, seem like it's okay, that it might actually be good. I mean, you remember when we looked at back around Christmas time, that slogan from the Salvation Army, doing the most good? It sounds right. It sounds wonderful. But when you say the most good, who did the most good? Jesus did. And only Jesus. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. That ain't saying that these demons or these people led by demons are transforming into other creatures. Where's that at? Okay, flip over to the right. Revelation chapter 16. Let's take a quick look at this. And verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast. That would be the false, that would be the Antichrist. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, think about this. At that moment in Revelation, Satan, the dragon, is indwelling the beast, the Antichrist. How many of you remember those little Russian dolls? It wasn't a doll, but it's a wooden thing. And you take open, you kind of twist it and you pull it open, and inside it there's another little wooden figure. And you pull that one, you pull it apart like around the belly, and then there's another little doll inside. You know what I'm talking about there? Okay. I should have brought a picture along, but I didn't. Okay. That's what you need to think about there. So inside of, now this is weird. I don't understand this. I don't pretend to. But this just blows my mind. Satan has an unclean spirit inside of him. I don't know. Makisha, does he eat demons for lunch? I don't know. Is he a cannibal? I have no idea. But he regurgitates, belches out, throws up, spits out, whatever you want to call it. He will spit out an unclean spirit. That's a fallen angel. That's a demon. Where this thing comes from, we know all fallen angels, all demons were all created at the same time on day three. Because they were all angels to begin with. And then they fell after day seven of creation. Sometime between then and whenever the devil pops up as the serpent in chapter 3 of Genesis. But what this unclean spirit is doing inside of him, I don't know. Maybe I'll understand by the time we get from chapter 9 to chapter 16. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe not. We'll find out. Anyway, the devil pukes out this unclean spirit. Now he is inside of the Antichrist. The Antichrist now, he is possessed by the devil. And inside of him, out of his mouth, pukes out this another unclean spirit. And then over here, you've got the false prophet, and he vomits out an unclean spirit. And when John says he sees this, every one, all three of those unclean spirits, they look like they're in the form of frogs. I don't understand it, but that's what it is. They look like, and evidently behave like, flying frogs. I don't know. So, but I do know that they take the form of another creature, of another shape. So they have shape-shifted from one form into another. So is it biblically possible? Yes, it is. For demons to shape-shift. So beware, beloved, demons can assume the likeness of something else. According to Revelation, the answer is yes. These are not locusts as we know them. These are spiritual demonic locusts. Now you may say, well, wait a minute. How do we know this is not regular locusts anyway? Is there another way we know these ain't just a regular swarm of locusts on a major scale, like a locust apocalypse or something? Well, I told you last week to go back in Proverbs chapter 30. And what did we find in Proverbs chapter 30? Anybody look at verse 27 back there? Who has the answer? How do we know that these locusts are not regular, normal locusts? Okay, Proverbs chapter 30, chapter 30, verse 27 tells us what? The locusts have no king, yet go they forth of all them by bands. So the Bible says that the locusts, normal, average, everyday locusts, have what? They have no king. That is, they have no leader. So in other words, there's no queen or king locust. All the locusts are like one big wave. They just go out, everybody, ever, not man, but ever locust for himself. Okay? But that's not what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 9. Flip back to Revelation chapter 9, look down at verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Who is the angel of the bottomless pit? We met him back on the fourth seal. who went around and something followed him. Abaddon, Apollyon, but in the fourth seal, his name is called Death. That's the angel of death. We'll learn more about him when we get down to that verse. Not tonight, though. All right, so what did the Bible say here? The Bible says that these locusts have a king. Abaddon in the Hebrew, or Apollyon in the Greek, which means the destroyer. So in Proverbs chapter 30, it says what? That locusts have no king over them. But these locusts do. And he's what? The angel of the bottomless pit. So these are not regular bugs. They are demons. And I believe you can see that from a biblical standpoint. So that rests the case. Also, when you read Revelation chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, which we'll get into next week, they certainly are unlike any kind of locust out there today. Also, notice in that reading there, the connection with the likeness in that the description, which further establishes that this is what the locusts look like. So, beloved, I tell you now, beware of any Bible preacher, any teacher, any commentator that says that these are locusts that have been found that match this description. Tim LaHaye said in his book that some commentator even said that these locusts were nothing, Brother David, but B-29 fighter bombers. Because they were well protected and had the capacity to sting from the tail. You know, no. If you see that kind of description, then just take it and put it in file 13. The trash can. Now, Tim LaHaye didn't say that's what they were. That's what he was jokingly saying. Somebody else said they were. B-29 bombers. Okay. That must have come from around World War II. Because if it had been from the day, they would have said something about, what, the stealth bomber or something. But anyway. All right, next point. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, locusts, normal locusts, that is, they eat. They leave humans alone. All known scorpions species, they possess venom and use it primarily to kill or paralyze their prey so it can be eaten. In general, that venom is a fast-acting and it allows for effective prey capture. However, as a general rule, the scorpions kill their prey with brute force if they can, as opposed to using venom. It's also used as a defensive weapon. So here, when the Bible says that to the locusts were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, we have to do a study of what scorpions are and what power they have. And that's the main power scorpions have, is to strike and to basically pinch or clobber to death their prey. But human beings are too big for them to eat. So the main thing we are to the scorpions is a nuisance. And when they do attack, which, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on to that idea. Okay, next point. And it was commanded them. So we may wonder from whence their commandment comes from. Some speculate that the commandment comes from their leader, Abaddon or Apollyon. Others think the command is from Satan. I think both of those views are wrong. Who's going to give a command to the angel, fallen or elect? God himself. Note verse 3 and 5, unto them was given power, and to them it was given. Who has ultimate power? God. And who has to open the door to allow? God does. That's absolutely right. The only one who has that ultimate authority is the Lord himself. Thus the Lord commands the demonic locust in the same manner as he did to Satan in the book of Job. And what was the commandment? Next point. That they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. And as I said before, guys, locusts are herbivores. They eat plants. These locusts don't even touch it. So these locusts, A, they're either going to starve to death, or B, they don't have to eat because they're demons. That's not what the locusts are doing. They're not doing like normal locusts do. We see God lays out the principle that they cannot hurt nature. Next point, but only those men, now get this, which have not the seal of God in their forehead. There are going to be people, remember back in lesson 86, that will be sealed with the seal of God. Now, evidently, this shows us that those that are sealed are not just 144,000 witnesses. This must be all that are saved upon the earth at that time. So what does this mean? This is amazing. The demonic locusts are given the directive now who they can hurt. Because what is, guys, now stop and think about this. What is the demonic locust army? What is it? It is a what? Think about it. What started the demonic locust attack? What event? Give me a hint. Tribulation. Okay, what? The fifth trumpet. You know, when the fifth trumpet was blown, right? So what is the fifth trumpet? What is the fourth trumpet? What's the seventh seal? What's the first seal? That's what? It's God's wrath. And we call that judgment. So the demonic locusts are what? Judgment, right? Well, guess what? If you're saved, the judgment of God fell on you and me where? On the cross, on Calvary. Does not the Bible say that the wrath of God abides on who? Those, John chapter 3, I can't quote it right here. But he says, well, I can't find it here. The wrath of God abideth on those that do not believe. That's the sentence. Well, where is it? He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so the understanding there is that the wrath of God abides. Scripture says that. The wrath of God abides on those who are not saved. So you and I, when we got saved, guys, the wrath of God does not abide on us. The wrath of God, the judgment of God doesn't come upon us. But this first woe is a demonic locust army, and it's coming out there. And guess what? If a person is saved during this time period, they can walk outside and these demonic locusts be swirling all around them, and they are going to be invincible because they're sealed by God. Now, how about that? All the lost people out there, they are open for attack because that's what the scripture says, that only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Think about back when the plagues of Egypt happened. God put a line of demarcation between the Israelites and the Egyptians. So God's people will be spared the judgment of the demonic locust. What does it say now? What is the power of these locusts? If they can't hurt the saved, they're going to hurt the unsealed of God. So what are they going to be able to do now? It says, and to them it was given. Again, we've seen now what? Who's ultimately in charge? The demons ain't ultimately in charge. God is. So what does he tell them? He says, and the next point, that they should not kill them. They can't kill them. Even though they are commanded by none other than the angel of death himself. But they can't kill them. They are forbidden by God to kill these lost people. Why? Think about it, guys. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked because they're all going to go to hell. But this is a judgment upon them because they have rejected him. So in Job 1:12, we're reminded of, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he that is Job hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of God. In Job 2:6, he says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he, Job, is in thine hand, but save his life. God said, you can do anything to anything and everything Job has, but you cannot kill him. He is mine. His life is in my hand. Now, what does that say about the other people in Job's life? What about his children? Evidently, they weren't saved. They were all 10 of them lost. Go read about that, chapter 1. See what Job is doing in the beginning. He's praying for his children to get right with God. He was doing their work for them in trying to intercede on their behalf to God. All right, anyway. So we see that while the saved, those sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, will not be impacted by the judgment, we see the lost will be struck, but they will not be killed. Now get this. Next point. But that they should be tormented 5 months. What kind of torment is this? All right, remember, that right there says that's the length of time during which they will be tormented. How are they going to be tormented? Next point. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Has anyone in here ever been stung by a scorpion? Eduardo has. Was it pleasant or was it terrible? It was pitiful. All right? Now, think about this guy. When you and I usually think about a scorpion, many times we think of a deadly scorpion. But understand that of the 1,000 plus known species of scorpion, only 25 have venom that is deadly to human. Those belong to the family Butida, B-U-T-H-I-D-A. The overwhelming impact of a scorpion sting, and I'm sure Eduardo can verify this, pain, sickness, poisoning, vomiting, dizziness, you just basically want to die. That is because, guys, that venom is a mixture of compound, neurotoxin, enzyme inhibitors, and each not only causing a different effect, but possibly also targeting a specific animal. And so, and the scorpion stings, it stings and it bites with that venom. But these men, women, children, those that are lost, they will be tormented, the Bible says. It ain't just going to be pain and suffering. It's going to be a torment. They cannot get any relief. They can take all the drugs they want to. There will be no relief for them for 5 months. But that's not all. Let's say that they've had enough of this pain and they want to have what we might call a mercy killing. Think of, what was his name? Kevorkian. Jack Kevorkian. Remember him? Dr. Death, they called him. They would go up in the state of Oregon and ask him to allow them to commit suicide, assisted suicide, because they may have a terminally ill illness or something like that. And so they go to Kevorkian and say, just give me something to put me to sleep and just end it all and put me out of my misery. And they did that. Even though it was against the law, Kevorkian did all those things. But now, guys, you stop and think about this. The next wording says, and in those days, that would be what? The tormenting period of 5 months referred to in verse 5. Last point. Now, this is the thing that really blows my mind. In those days, in those 5 months, last point, shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So, when we get into the identity of Apollyon, the angel of death himself, the destroyer, we're going to see that while he's out there and his demonic locusts are out there running around and causing pain, suffering, and torment, these people are going to want to die. And indeed, they're going to seek death. They're going to try to kill themselves. Can you imagine taking a gun to a person taking a gun to their head and pulling the trigger, and either A, it doesn't go off, or if it does, it will skirt around the skull. It will not. They will not be able to die. They can jump off of a building and land and be damaged, but they will not be able to die. That's what the Bible said. Phew, that's going to be some pretty awful torment and pain and suffering. If they're going to seek death, they're going to claw everywhere they can to die. And they won't be able to. Because God has bound the hands of the angel of death. He will have bound the power of death because he has the power. Not the devil. He used to, but not anymore. Thank God he doesn't. Well, folks, there it is. Lesson 98. Part 2 of the fifth trumpet and the first woe. Tonight we've looked at the locust. and their power. Now, in our Revelation index here, that was lesson 98. Next week, we're going to be looking at lesson 99. It almost makes me want to throw a celebration because we've almost come to lesson 100. Ooh, that's amazing. Because you know what that means? We're halfway through. Lord willing. We're going to look at next week, verses 7 through 10, the locust and their form. Now we know that they look like locusts. We know that they're demons. But we're going to be looking at horse hooves, women's hair, crowns, iron, all kind of weird things. These things are ugly. You talk about Frankenstein, They look like they've been cobbled together or something. Ugh. But the sound they make, the evil appearance they have, you don't want to see these things, neither do I. But we're going to look at the locust and their form next week. Then in lesson 100, we will look at the locust and their king. We're going to do an in-depth look at who Abaddon or Apollyon is. And did he pay the United States of America a visit back on September 11th, 2001? Coming up next time, next channel, next week, assuming the rapture doesn't take place. All right, let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes.